We're going to open up hour two with our friend Cole Manbeck here, potentially for a couple segments, get his thoughts on what's going on with John Curry taking off to Tennessee, what happens next to K-State, and as well what's next for the men's basketball program and the hire there. So we've got that coming up first. At 5:40, Bruce Weber got some more tough questions today at his media gathering. I thought he handled it much better than what happened on Saturday after the 30-point loss to Oklahoma. We'll break down that. Jabroni of the Week at 5:50 as well here in hour two of the show. You can continue to tweet your responses to the game KMAN, J.O. Kurtz. Just simply your reaction to John Curry announcing today that he is off to Tennessee to become their athletics director. Laird Veach, by the way, is the acting athletics director now at K-State. One more thought on this. Don't you think Cult of Frank would be a good band name? One of those obscure band names? Cult of Frank? I guess I should be asking Mitch that.
Going to be a thing.
Does that work?
Reminds me of the song Cult of Personality by Living Color.
Yeah. But doesn't that sound like one of those obscure band names, Cult of Frank?
Frank, the name Frank really doesn't have much of a place in a band name, I don't think.
I don't know. I think Cult of Frank would be a good, like, edgy, obscure name where it's like, you know that people are going to have to ask you about the name. It just sounds cool because you don't really understand.
Cult of Brad would make more sense than Cult of Frank.
I don't know. I actually, because it's the original here for sake of discussion, I think I'm going to go with Cult of Frank. I think that's a good band name. If I ever learn how to play the guitar, which I've tried to twice in my life, I'm going to start a band called Cult of Frank. I've decided that here and today.
Are you going to try a third time?
I mean, maybe. Like, I'm too busy for that right now.
Why don't you call it Cult of Kurtz?
No.
It has a better ring to it.
No, I don't think that. See, I don't know. I don't like how that rings.
Cult of Kurtz.
I don't like how that rings. I'm sticking with you guys are out of the discussion. I've decided at some point in my life I will make a band called Cult of Frank. For now, I'm going to talk with Cole Manbeck about what's happening here with K-State Athletics. You think that's a good band name, Cole?
Yeah, I think I would go with it. I'd buy a shirt.
Okay.
You know? I mean, I guess I am, you know, in the Cult of Frank.
You're the leader.
I liked Frank Martin. Gosh, you know, sue me. I think he was a nice coach for K-State, and I know there's some people out there that didn't like him, and I can't relate to you if you didn't appreciate what he did for K-State.
All right, well, John Curry is going to Tennessee. Just your initial reaction to that news coming out today at about 10 o'clock this morning.
Well, you and I were on the phone together when this all kind of started to unravel.
Yeah, we were. I guess I already know your reaction.
I was pretty shocked by it. My phone started blowing up while you and I were talking, getting a lot of texts that were coming in, and you know, just really caught me off guard. You know, I knew the Tennessee job had been open, but it had been open for such a long time that I just assumed that nothing much was really going on there. And look, we knew John Curry had applied for a lot of jobs over the last several years. And, you know, so it didn't necessarily catch me off guard that he was leaving. It was just the suddenness of today. You know, you didn't really hear any rumors in the last couple weeks that, hey, you know, he's one of the front runners or candidates for the Tennessee job. It just kind of came completely out of left field, and just very surprised by it. Made for an active day to monitor Twitter and social media and get some laughs in, see how K-State fans reacted and Tennessee fans and their reactions as well. But I think K-State will be fine.
Cole, we talked about this in the first hour and want to get your take on it. I mean, it may be a question that's hard to answer immediately. It may be a couple of years before it fully can be, but what do you think John Curry's legacy is at K-State?
Yes, it's twofold here. So when he came in, obviously the athletic department was a mess. The finances were a complete disaster, and he came up with some really interesting, intriguing ideas that got the fan base going again. He brought in $99 season football tickets for a limited number of fans. I believe it was about 2,000. You know, he gave out the yard signs to put in your yard if you're an Ahern donor or season ticket holder. You know, try to rejuvenate the trust of the fan base. And I think he did a really nice job in that. Then after 2-3 years, I really started to think that, you know, while he had done some great things, he had really worn out a path with a lot of fans, but not really the fans so much as in, you know, the coaching staffs at K-State. You know, John Curry is a guy that really meddles in the affairs of, you know, his coaches. And you saw it when Frank Martin was here. He was sitting alongside the bench numerous times, taking notes. He doesn't do that now nearly as much with Bruce Weber as the coach, the guy he handpicked. You know, I know that always bothered some individuals. And, you know, if you talk to K-State coaches, you know, there's a lot of guys that you know, have had some issues there, and we'll see it like that. I mean, you know, there's some coaches at K-State today that are happy that this goes on, and there's some coaches at Tennessee that I'm sure aren't too thrilled. And you know, it's just he's kind of a micromanager. I don't want to be too harsh on the guy because he did some great things for K-State, but he really meddled in the affairs of his coaches, and the relationships weren't as strong as you would have liked for an athletic director to be with his coaching staff.
Cole Manbeck talking with us. Well, I am glad that you brought up the part about, again, I've been trying to emphasize and hammer home. I think the biggest thing, because facilities, we know, is a big plus. You know, the $210 million, whatever the final number, I think it's $210 million worth of facilities that have been built. We can see those. We still understand those. That in and of itself almost overshadowed the job that he did to get things in order financially when he first took over. That's something that almost nobody mentions in the positive column that I thought we'd be hearing more of today, because that is something that he deserves a ton of credit for. As you said, though, there had been split opinions within the fan base, and it goes to the basketball program. It goes all the way up to people who felt differently about John Curry. Do you think this is an opportunity now to, in a lot of ways, with everything that's happening, unify the fan base moving forward?
Well, I think that's exactly it. You know, Kansas State fan base has been divided really over the last 2-3 years between, you know, you had the John Curry critics, you had the Bruce Weber critics, thought that Bruce Weber never should have been hired for the job. And I felt like the fan base had really been split for quite some time now. And now I think you have an opportunity to kind of clean that up and get things going again. But yeah, I wanted to emphasize the fact that, look, K-State fans had no trust with the administration after the Bob Krause fiasco and the secret contract with Ron Prince. And so they needed a guy to come in and kind of rebuild that trust. And John Curry was very transparent. He was transparent with the budget. He created the cards where, you know, he showed the budget on the back and where the money was going. He sent letters to the fans. And he did a really nice job of really relating to the fan base and bringing that trust back into the fold. But, you know, ultimately, I think when you look at his legacy, a lot of it is going to depend on, you know, who the next head coach is at Kansas State in the men's basketball program. So let's say Bruce Weber is fired after this season and the next guy comes in and it's a Jim Aldridge type, you know, thing where, you know, he doesn't do well following up a Tom Asbury type, and then the basketball program really feels like it was destroyed again or dismantled and set back to the 1990s. I think, you know, he'll be remembered as the guy that dismantled and set K-State back for 20 years on the hardwood, if that's the case. And I think that's ultimately what his legacy would be. So really, the next AD can kind of save John Curry if he makes a great hire and that basketball coach works out and gets the program going again. But if it's a, you know, a bad hire, then I think it sets K-State back and he's remembered more for those failures in the basketball.
Cole, I feel like I've been at least a little bit more positive than most, or at least more than, say, you and John on the legacy that John Curry leaves at K-State. But I will say that,
man,
even
I feel that.
Oh,
just
I know that I'm right on that.
Hold,
yeah. You're gonna take that L, but hold on. But even for me, it's kind of a weird fit at Tennessee, given what we know Curry is good at and what we know Curry has struggled with. You're not going to have any problem raising money at Tennessee. They are a university that has, it seems, kind of a mediocre football coach, kind of a mediocre basketball situation right now. What do you think of this fit from a Tennessee perspective?
Well, I think the interesting thing is going into the SEC. Look, we know that John Curry runs a very clean program. You know, he's very strict on following the rules. That's something that's very important to him. And you know what? I can't knock a guy that wants to follow the rules. But now you're going into the SEC, and let's be frank about it. We know they don't always follow the rules there in that conference. And, you know, I just don't know how that's going to work out, you know, being at a high-profile program like Tennessee and being all strict with the compliance side of things and regulatory side of things. You know, I just don't know if that's a fit. Now, to be completely honest, I just don't know, you know, going into the SEC conference, the way that Curry has kind of structured his ways at K-State and, you know, been so strict with the rules, I just don't know there. But as you mentioned, you know, money-wise, I don't think that's really an issue with Tennessee. Look, they have a football stadium that seats over 100,000, one of the largest there. Granted, it could use some renovations. It's a little outdated now, but they've got facilities, and he shouldn't have that much trouble raising money. It's not like they're majorly in debt like K-State was when Curry took over here. So I would agree with that. and the fact that I just don't know how he really fits in there and how his, you know, being so clean and running clean programs will work out at Tennessee.
Cole Manbeck talking with us here on the game. To me, Laird Veach seems like a near slam dunk, the obvious choice. Is that how you would view this thing going forward?
I would act quickly, and I would get Laird Veach in place here in the next couple weeks. I think that's the home run hire. He's a guy that's really been groomed for this situation. And look, we give John Curry a lot of credit for the facility enhancements, and granted, he had the vision to capitalize on the successes that Bill Snyder and Frank Martin had at K-State and getting the two major financial programs that generate the revenue going. And, you know, he had the vision to capitalize on that. But Laird Veach was really the guy that raised the money and had the relationships with the donors that got them going and got that revenue in the door and, you know, had the vision to really follow up on it. And so he's really been that right-hand guy for Curry. And I'll just be honest, I think he has better relationship with the coaches, can relate better, obviously, to Bill Snyder, having played for him, having been around the program for a while now. So I just think that's the guy that's a perfect fit because he has a relationship with the donors. He has the relationship with the coaches. He's an internal hire that knows what's going on right now with both the football program and the basketball program, and he can act quickly because he's familiar with everything. And I think, you know, you got to ask yourself how attractive of a job is for K-State for an outsider as an athletic director when they know they're going to have to replace Bill Snyder in the near future and possibly a basketball coach as a new AD. Going to really want to step into that situation where they have to make major moves like that? Or is an internal guy like Laird Veach the right fit? To me, I'd make that hire over the next couple weeks and have him in place to make a decision on Bruce Weber.
Well, I know I'm going to have your attention with the next two names I'm about to mention here, but if it is Laird Veach or whoever it's going to be the next guy, I guess for the sake of discussion here, I'll say if it is Laird Veach who's the next athletic director, two doors I'm going to ask if you think it cracks open a little bit. One, a former teammate of his, a guy you may have heard of named Brent Venables.
Why are you doing this to our listeners?
Two, Brad Underwood at Oklahoma State. Does that crack open either one of those doors?
Well, as you know, I don't know who's a Brent Venables fan, you know, talking right now, but I think that's something that certainly came to my mind this morning when this first came up, because there is a friendship there between Laird Veach and Brent Venables, and then also, you know, the Brad Underwood circumstances. Look, I think it's a more attractive job to Brad Underwood now, but look, this is the job that Brad Underwood wanted all along. Yeah, it's Brad Underwood's dream job, but, you know, Oklahoma State was really a close second, and I think he's certainly happy there, and he's only been there 1 year, and he's a guy that is extremely loyal, and I just have a hard time seeing him leave after 1 year, even for a K-State job that you know that he really wanted. But, you know, look, the buyout is really the biggest issue there, and having a $6 million buyout to pay for a basketball coach, that's a problem. Plus, on the $2.5 million, got to pay for Bruce Weber. Look, this is where the issue with John Curry and having the foresight really comes into play, because I didn't see improvement last year with the basketball program. I don't really know where that came from. They went 5-13 in the league, and I didn't think Bruce Weber should have been brought back. You know, I don't see any reason why, you know, they saw that, the need to bring him back. And if you act quickly last year and you're aggressive like Oklahoma State was, and you go get Brad Underwood, you don't pay a $6 million buyout that's now built into his contract. You pay him nearly half as much as Bruce Weber's making. Brad Underwood's making $1 million at Oklahoma State right now. Bruce Weber's making nearly $2 million. You get a better coach, you unify the fan base, and you bring everyone together again, and you save money in the long run over the next few years. Now we're talking about nearly a $10 million mistake by letting Brad Underwood go to Oklahoma State. And now you got him beating you in your own conference and rebuilding that program, and he's going to turn them around and get them really going. And I think that's the frustrating thing to me. To get back to your question,
just a little bit of a tangent there.
Well, you know,
that's the new single by the band Cult of Frank.
The Cult of Frank and Cult of Brad, you can put me in that as well. That's really the frustrating point to me. And now I think you're going to have trouble getting Brad Underwood out of Oklahoma State for at least a few years just because of the loyalty factor. They gave him the shot. I think it helps that now there's a new regime that's going to take over K-State as athletic director. I think that's certainly a bonus. I just don't know if it's enough.
Well, before we break here, what do you think would be the bigger obstacle there, coming up with the $6 million in buyout money or getting him to actually leave?
I think it would probably be the buyout money, honestly. I think you could convince Brad Underwood to come to Kansas State, and it's just because I've talked to him numerous times. I know how much love he has for this university, for Manhattan. I know he's happy at Oklahoma State, but I just think the ultimate allure of coming back home, he'd be a lifer. You know, he'd be a lifer at K-State. You always talk about finding that guy who can, you know, last and stay at the program for such a long period of time, and that's what Brad Underwood would be. You know, Bob Huggins went home to West Virginia, but then again, if you think back about it, he kind of viewed that as his last chance. Now, Brad Underwood's young enough that, you know, he probably knows he's going to have another opportunity to come back to K-State, you know, in 5-6 years if he really wants to. Just knowing the way the coaching cycle works, there'll probably be an opening again in 5 or 6 years at Kansas State. So he would have another final opportunity to go home if he continues to thrive and have success at Oklahoma State. But to get back to it, I mean, I just think that, you know, coming up with $6 million just to buy him out, I just think in basketball, if it was football, it might be a little different. Basketball is not as much as a revenue-generating sport. I just don't know if you can convince a donor to pay that type of money, especially when you think back and you could have had him without a buyout last year.
Well, Cole, we'll take a break, come back and talk a little hoops, what's actually going on with the basketball team. I mean, there's a wealth of stuff going on there, but as we found out, I mean, really, Bob's theory about basketball's distractions getting buried here with the news about John Curry today, I think it's proven to be true even on our show. So let's see what Cole thinks when we come back, if it is potentially a good thing for the basketball program that this has happened as far as their short-term future is concerned. You're listening to The Game.